my wonderful friends, wherever you are. My name is Dr. Linda Price, and I am the Little Old Lady Professor. This is podcast 14, and today we're going to be talking about a topic that, you know, you may not heard a lot about, but is a whole lot of fun, and it's called Happy Independence Day. Now, I don't know where you are, where you're listening right now, but if you're in the United States, you know that the 4th of July is typically a big deal for our country. And where I live down here on the Gulf Coast in Mississippi, everybody goes nuts on 4th of July. They have barbecues, we shoot fireworks at night, we go down to the beach and watch the sunset and, you know, dance. And it's so much fun. And we celebrate our freedom. That's a wonderful idea, but I want to make that more personal for you. And I want you to learn how to celebrate your very own personal Independence Day. So wherever you are, sit back, kick your feet up, get yourself a double espresso or a glass of wine or a cup of tea, and let's sit back and talk about how to make your life more independent. By the way, there are lots and lots and lots of really cool things on the blog today. So when you're finished listening to the podcast, be sure to go to the blog and look at all the references and the resources. Also, I need to make a very quick caveat. I am, as you know, an American. And so what I'm going to be talking about is how independence and the laws and legislation about disabilities work for people in the United States. If you are listening from another country, God bless you. I'm so glad you're here. And I have some sections on the blog that talk about other countries. And also, please write me and let me know how you would celebrate your own independence with laws and various legislation in your country. Anyway, let's talk about first what independence is. Many people tend to say independence is the same thing as freedom. And when we talk about personal freedom, especially, we're trying to talk about what independence or freedom means for you. And it's like freedom is a lack of not being involved, being controlled by somebody else, not being influenced by somebody else, or not being supported by somebody else. In other words, how much of your daily life is controlled by other people? How much of your daily life is controlled by their expectations? Not yours, but theirs. For example, is your home life dictated by parents or maybe your spouse, your children, or your friends? If you're still in secondary school, how much of your education depends solely on educators or IEPs? Any time in your life, at any age, are your social relationships shaped totally by social media? Or do you also react and relate to people in the real world? Is your job or your career entirely based on the expectations of others? Any or all of these questions relate specifically to your own personal independence and your own personal freedom. And so we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about how you can develop that freedom yourself and start making your own decisions and living your own life. The benefits from that tend to be amazing. Once you develop a sense of personal freedom, you're able to travel your own path. You're able to start taking risks. You feel a sense of your own self-worth. You see yourself outside of other people, and you learn to respect the rights and the choices of others. Having your own independence and sense of personal freedom allows you to open all these doors for lots of new challenges and information. And so that's why we're going to spend a lot of time focusing on this kind of personal freedom, this kind of self-responsibility today. There are three different ways, in my opinion, that your own personal independence very specifically applies to LD and dyslexia. And one of the things that kind of breaks my heart when I look back over my work with people with LD and dyslexia over the years and a lot of the school systems in America that I worked with is we never put enough of a focus in that area. A lot of kids, and you may have been the same way if you had special ed in the K through kindergarten through 12 setting, you may have had all of your choices dictated by other people, either by your parents or your teachers, maybe by a coach. They were definitely dictated by your IEP or your transition plan. And even though some school districts try to give you experiences and ideas about independence, a lot of times that tends to be a forgotten topic. Because of that, I want to turn you on to one of my favorite people in the whole world and her book. Her name is Dale Brown. The book is called Steps to Independence, and I have it on the blog. It's available free over the internet, and Dale herself has learning disabilities and dyslexia. And she has been a worldwide leader in terms of telling people how to live with it every day. And I take the time, she does it so much better than I do, that I can. When we talk about how do learning disabilities apply specifically to personal freedom and independence, she spends over 50 pages talking about dyslexia and perceptual skills, neurological areas like coordination, hyperactivity, left-right orientation, disinhibition, perseveration, catastrophic responses, and memory issues. All of those issues, if you don't learn accommodations and ways to compensate for those, will tend to keep you dependent on other people, tend to help you, you know, not help you become more independent, but become more dependent because you really are having major issues in your life. She gives you lots and lots of practical ways to deal with things you probably never think about, cooking or cleaning, doing laundry, all those personal skills that many of us take for granted. For example, in the United States, if you want to become an independent adult, you have to learn how to drive a car. People with learning disabilities and dyslexia, many of them can't pass the basic driver's test. Many of them have major problems when they're trying to do the actual driving test because of their left-right orientation, because of their auditory memory problems. They basically end up flunking the test and are not able to drive. And that's a real area when you're trying to become an independent adult. If you're dependent on other people for transportation, that can be a real issue. She talks about people still having to live at home with their families because of their LD. They have problems with short-term memory loss, so they have problems with cooking. They can't learn how to cook for themselves. They may have problems with cleaning because they have problems following directions. They have problems with doing laundry because they have problems with memory loss. All of those things are various behaviors or areas of your life that keep you from being independent and that keep you from living the life that you want to live. And we're going to talk about that more today. I'm going to stop at this point and give you a break, and then we're going to talk more about how LD specifically applies to being an independent adult. Let's talk a little bit about some other areas where LD may have impacted your life. Another way that there's a huge body of literature that some of you may be familiar with called self-determination. And I've got a lot of different references on the website that talk about that. But self-determination basically boils down to making your own decisions about your own life and also learning how to goal set. And again, if you have a severe learning disability or you have dyslexia, that can be a real issue because in many cases, everybody else makes your decisions for you. And I will talk more about that in terms of the scenarios in a minute. The third area where LD is definitely impacting your life in terms of your independence is the whole concept of the disability law that's currently available. And also how what we call the legislative safety net, how that can change your life every day, especially in terms of getting accommodations. Now, I talked about that a fair amount already in podcast 2 and 3, so I'm not going to go into that today in depth in this podcast, but it's important to understand that you have the right as an American citizen to receive accommodations for your disability, either at work or in school. Also, you should have the right to receive accommodations for your disability in the community. So let's say, for example, that you want to vote. Maybe you've never voted before, or maybe you feel very strongly about one of the candidates or climate change, or you want to start getting politically involved. If you need accommodations, let's say, for example, to read the ballot, or let's say if, for example, you want to go to maybe a meeting, you know, like one of the local political meetings, you can ask someone to take notes for you if you have auditory memory problems or if you can't quite follow what someone's saying. All of those are accommodations that are guaranteed under the law. So again, there's a whole section that talks about that in the podcast, and I'm not going to go into that now in greater depth. What I am going to talk about, though, is how all of this impacts your life. And I want to give you two scenarios, and then we're going to talk about some tips and how you can take those tips then and then literally start making a difference in terms of your own personal independence. Let me tell you the first story. This is a true story, by the way. This is based on one of the students that I actually did work with in my former life when I was at the University of Minnesota. I'm calling him Eric because I want to protect his confidentiality. Eric had some real problems with learning disabilities. He had major problems with reading and writing and spelling skills. And he had an IEP from when he was a very young child. We spent at least 3 years working on a transition plan for him with his family. And the whole idea of the transition plan for Eric was that his stepfather owned a very successful electronics business. And Eric was supposed to go in and work for his stepfather and maybe down in the future take over the business. Well, Eric didn't care about that at all. Nobody ever thought to ask Eric what he wanted to do after he graduated from high school, but Eric wanted to go with his buddies and be part of a rock band. And for 3 years, when we did the transition plan, we would sit down once a year, all of the teachers, all the psychologists, all of Eric's family, all of us educators, and we'd write all these wonderful transition goals for Eric, all these things he was going to do. The day Eric graduated from high school, his mother cried, his stepfather yelled at him, he got into an old van with a bunch of his buddies, and they went off to California. He said, "I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be part of the rock band." Well, that was well and good till the van broke down in Las Vegas. So they're sitting in Las Vegas, these guys. Eric just wants to be in a band and meet girls and, you know, have a good time and do some partying. And the rest of his buddies say, "We're done. We don't want to be part of the rock band anymore. Goodbye, Eric." And they turned around and they decided they were going to go back home. Eric and another buddy decided that they were going to go ahead on to California and they were still going to try to be rock musicians. Once Eric got to California, he found out two things. First of all, he couldn't get a job to support himself. Second of all, he couldn't get into a rock band. And third, he found that he couldn't find a cheap place to live. So he contacted his parents and said, "Look, things are not so great in California." And one of his buddies then told him about a local community college in San Francisco that had a new program to train people to be artists in neon. You know, like neon tubing, you know, like signs. Think of Las Vegas with all those neon signs. Somebody has to make those signs, and that's what this program was about, to teach him how to become a neon artist. Eric thought that was the coolest thing since sliced bread. And so he called his mom and his stepdad, and he said, "Guess what? I'm going to come. I'm going to stay in San Francisco. I'm going to go back and get training to become a neon artist. They may even have a scholarship for me. I'm going to go back to school." His parents had a meltdown. They called the rest of his family. His family then called some of his friends. Everybody's calling poor Eric in San Francisco and telling him to come home. "Stop this foolishness. He needs to be part of his stepdad's electronics company. Just do it. Just do it now. He had this little fling. He took a risk. He had a good time. Now come home and be an adult." What do you think? What should Eric do? Have you ever been in this situation where you wanted to do something and everybody else in your family was telling you you needed to do something else? You know what? That's what we call finding your own independence. I'm going to stop at this point, and when I come back, we'll talk about another story. Okay, welcome back. Hope you were able to do what you needed to do between the break, but let's talk now about another scenario about someone with dyslexia or a learning disability and finding their own personal independent state. Elaine has always had problems making friends. She has severe auditory discrimination problems. She has dyslexia, so sometimes she doesn't always understand what she reads. She has problems with jokes. She has problems, you know, because she doesn't quite know when something is funny. It doesn't make sense to her. She's a sweet, sweet lady, but social skills have always been an issue for her. And Elaine, after she graduated from high school, became a waitress part-time, and her parents talked her into going back to school at night to become a dental hygienist. So here she is. She's living with her sister in an apartment. She's working as a waitress during the day, and she's going to school at night. None of those things she really likes, but this is what her life is. She's an adult now. This is how she's coping every day. And she gets on social media. And Elaine loves social media. This is where she finds her friendships. This is where she feels like her life is really happening. When she gets up in the morning, first thing she does is check all these different Facebook pages. When she stops for lunch at her waitressing job, she gets on TikTok. When she has any breaks, she gets on Instagram or she goes to Snapchat. If she gets bored with her night classes, she'll pull her phone up where the teacher can't see, and she'll start scrolling her social media. Elaine basically lives her life on social media. She has her day life, her reality life, where she's working at a dead-end job. She's going to school at night, maybe in a place that where she really doesn't want to go. She only has like some family, a couple friends, and her roommate, who is her sister, but her real life happens on social media. And she tells her sister one night, her sister has kind of been ragging on her and saying, look, I'm really sick of you whenever we sit down to eat, that you won't turn your phone off. I'm really sick that whenever I talk to you, you're bored unless you're on the computer or you're on your phone. You need to cut some of this back, you know? And Elaine says, but why are you telling me to do this? Why are you getting on my case? Everybody does this. This is the way people live now. They live on social media. But then later, she tells her sister, she admits to her, she says, you know, I still feel really lonely. I still feel lonely a lot of times. And she said, you know, I'm starting to get more and more depressed. And the biggest problem is that I get on social media and I hear about all these people, that all these people supposedly are my friends. But when I compare myself with them, boy, I just feel like a real failure. You know, it's like I just feel like I can't do what they do. I don't look like they look like. I don't talk like they talk. And her sister said right away, she said, we have to have an intervention. We're going to sit down and I'm going to get you off of the social media now. We're going to lock up your phone. We don't want you involved. This is the last thing that Elaine wants to do. But what should she do? How does she find her own personal independence day? And it's these two scenarios that I think really apply to the tips that we're going to be talking about in a minute. So let me stop and come back, and we're going to talk about some tips. Okay, welcome back. First thing we're going to talk about is tip number one. And tip number one is based on Dale Brown's book, Steps to Independence. She has a wonderful section in there about activities of daily living. And maybe some of you are, you know, you're very happy living with your spouse or your significant other. Maybe you're living at home and you're doing really well. If you are, God bless you. That's great. You can be a role model for the rest of us. In my experience, however, especially folks with LD or dyslexia, they often have many, many, many problems with activities of daily living. And they, because of that, their parents really discourage them from trying to be independent and moving out on their own. So Dale talks a lot about this in the book. And let me read you a quote. I love this. She says, people who have learning disabilities may be disorganized. They may be sloppy, leaving possessions all over the house. They may lack a routine, make it difficult for their family to plan ahead. Housework may be extremely difficult. Family errands, such as shopping, present further problems. Following directions is hard for people with auditory or perceptual handicaps. Time can be a difficult concept. They may get so absorbed in activities that they keep people waiting. Does any of this sound like you? Do you have problems at home, maybe with cooking or cleaning, paying bills, keeping appointments, maybe using transportation, maybe finding a place to live? If this is true, believe it or not, that may actually be specifically related to your LD or dyslexia. And if that's true, and if you want to be independent, if you want to, let's say, move out of your parents' house, or maybe you want to get your own apartment by yourself and not live with roommates, or, maybe you want to move in with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. If living arrangements are not what you want, and you want to suddenly find your own place to live, you want to live your own independent life, you may need to work first on activities of daily living. And Dale suggests that what you do is two quick things, which is tip number one. First of all, you may need to make a list of problems. And I'm going to illustrate this for you in a minute. And secondly, you need to discuss at least one of those problems with someone that you live with. Not somebody in social media, not somebody maybe that's a friend of yours that you don't see very often, maybe not a family member that you just see at Christmas and at Easter, but you need to talk about at least one of these problems with someone who you live with and see every day. And again, this sounds so simple. It can't be that easy to fix the issues in your life and move out and become independent. But it is the beginning of the process to make that list of problems and to discuss at least one of those problems with somebody else that you live with. So let's say, for example, let's start talking about Eric. Eric, remember, was the guy that wanted to live the wonderful, glamorous life as the rock musician. But instead, he's in San Francisco barely coping. He's living with a couple of his other buddies, and they're living in kind of a ratty old apartment in San Francisco. They're pooling their money. How is Eric going to figure out how to live the kind of life that he wants to live? First problem is Eric can't cook. So he's spending a lot of his money either eating pizza or living out in restaurants and spending money he already doesn't have. Eric called his mom, and after she stopped crying, they had a nice discussion about how could Eric learn how to cook. And his mom suggested that she would take four of his favorite foods and she would teach him how to make those foods. And because Eric has problems with reading, she made flashcards. She basically made pictures where, for example, she showed him how to make lasagna or she showed him how to make cheeseburgers. And she sent those to him, and Eric started practicing cooking in that ratty old apartment on his own. So eventually, when he got a place to live, he would be able to be independent. He would be able to feed himself. The other thing he talked with his mom about was money management. Eric's parents had always taken care of him in terms of paying all the bills, in terms of making sure he had enough money to go hang out with his buddies. And so he'd never really had to go buy groceries, to pay utilities, to have a checking account, all of that. The first thing Eric's mom suggested is she would give him one credit card, because many folks with learning disabilities or dyslexia have major problems with credit cards because they're spending basically what doesn't seem like real money. It's money in the future. It's not money that you actually have to pay off right now. And by the way, I can hear you already saying this. Okay, just say it to me and get it over with. You're going to say, come on, Dr. Price. Come on, Dr. Price. I don't have a learning disability. My sister didn't have a learning disability. And she has terrible problems with money management. I get that. I get that. I get that. But for people that have LD or dyslexia, that kind of planning, especially if you have dyscalculia, can be a major problem. So Eric's mom talked to her stepfather, and then she suggested to Eric they would send him one credit card only for emergencies. The rest of his money management was on his own. He was going to have to find some way to support himself out there, but there was a credit card that would be for emergency situations only. God forbid he has to go to the hospital. Maybe, for example, he needs to buy some decent clothes so he can go to a job interview. Those kinds of things they would be willing to pay for. But the credit card was for emergencies only. And that started Eric really thinking about how much money he needed and when was an emergency and when wasn't an emergency. So tip number one, think about your own life. If you want to be independent in activities of daily living, in cooking or cleaning or money management or grocery shopping or any kind of shopping, how are you going to become independent? And you can use Dale's two suggestions. You can isolate the problems and then you could talk to somebody else. Tip number two talks about setting goals and what we call life goals. And these really do apply to Elaine. As I said before, many folks with learning disabilities or dyslexia have major problems learning how to set goals because nobody ever asks their opinion. They don't have the foggiest idea what, you know, they want to do with their lives because people never ask them, because all those decisions already made. If they want to get a tattoo, I'm sorry, you can't get a tattoo because mom and dad said so, or because your boyfriend or girlfriend said no. Maybe you want to travel to a certain place. Maybe you want to have a certain kind of job. Maybe you want to learn how to tap dance, but you talk to other people around you, they tell you that's a stupid idea and you don't do it. Nope. Now's the time to have your own Independence Day. Think for yourself and figure out a goal that you want. And poor old Elaine is a perfect example of that. I shouldn't say poor old Elaine because, you know, she's got a lot going for her. But in this case, her whole area of problem of dealing with social media is something that her sister thinks she should really work on. And probably Elaine would have a more healthy, well-balanced life if she also did the cut back on the social media. There's a worksheet that's listed under tip number two, and it's called the Simple Goal Setting Worksheet. And go ahead and look at that or download it whenever you get the chance. The sections are my goal is, my goal completion date, steps to reaching my goal, and two things that will help me reach my goal. And all you have to do is fill out that worksheet and then see if you can accomplish any of the things that you've listed. So in this case, Elaine could talk with her sister and say, look, I know I need to stop the social media stuff, but I don't know how to do it. Can you help me? And she could sit down with her sister and fill out the worksheet. Her goal is to cut back from social media from all day, every day, to only being on social media for 3 hours a day. So 3 hours a day would be the maximum. And by the way, if you think this is just a problem with Elaine, I found a couple figures that you might find interesting. Right now, over 590 million people worldwide with disabilities are on social media. Over 590 million people use social media if they have disabilities. That's over 60% of all the people that use social media around the world are people with disabilities. Just Instagram, over 150 million people that have disabilities are on Instagram. So Elaine is not alone in this problem. But anyway, let's talk about how she can cut back on this a little bit. Because, by the way, and I have some information on that on the blog, studies have shown that people that are on social media for excessive amounts of time every day go through major depression. Some of them become suicidal. They see themselves as failures. They have problems relating to other people in their everyday lives. All of these things are ways that you can get yourself to become less attached to social media and to become more independent. Her goal is to only be on social media 3 hours a day. She's going to complete this goal within the next 2 months. Her steps to reaching her goal are, first of all, she's going to give her sister her phone when she's at home in the evenings with her sister. And when she's eating with someone else or when she's talking to someone else, she's going to put her phone away. Very simple goal. Hard to do, but a simple one. She right now is on at least 4 different social media platforms. Her second step is to cut her platforms down to only 2, and eventually then to go to only 1. So she's on less social media platforms. The third step is that she's going to have a buddy. In this case, she's going to use her sister. But it would be someone that every day she would have to tell them, well, you know what, this is what I did today on social media. Or she could keep a diary if she doesn't want to talk to anybody else about it. And to keep track of actual how much social media that she's using every day. And by the way, in terms of 2 things that will help her reach her goal, there are apps that you can use now that will help you monitor your social media use. So she could find herself an app, and she could also try to get involved with some kind of other interest or maybe something outside of social media. Like, for example, she has always been interested in flower arranging. And so one of the things that might help her meet her goal would be to find a class. There is one, by the way, at the local community college to help her work on flower arranging. So it would force her to get off of social media and to do something that she's interested in. Tip number 2 is a great way that you can actually take back your life, whatever your goal is, or you can move forward and take a risk and do something you have not done before. I'm going to stop one more time and give you a chance to catch your breath. Hi, folks, we're back. And tip number 3 involves using your legislative safety net. Now, one of the things that's really hard is that when you have a disability, an invisible disability, you definitely don't want to talk to other people about it. You definitely don't want anybody to know. And the other thing is, when you become an adult, you want to put all that behind you. If you've had accommodations when you were a child or in high school, the last thing you want to do is go out and have a completely, old slate and go back and say, okay, now I'm going to still use accommodations. Now I'm still going to be the token kid with the disability. You don't want to do that anymore. You want to totally walk away from that. But eventually there will be a time in your life where you will need accommodations or you may need legislative support. And at that point, tip number 3 talks about educating yourself. And that means maybe you never knew much about the ADA. Maybe you never knew about Section 504. Maybe nobody ever talked to you about accommodations. Now is the time, if you're going back to school, if you need accommodations on the job, now is the time to educate yourself and to use tip number 3 to basically find out, and there's a lot of information on the blog, or you could just Google this, a lot of information about what kinds of support you need under 504, under the ADA, if you have learning disabilities or dyslexia. So, for example, let's talk a little bit more about Elaine. Elaine never, ever, ever, ever wanted to admit to anybody that she had severe learning disabilities. And so consequently, even though she did receive some accommodations when she was in high school, she stopped using them right away. Now she's in a job training program to learn how to be a dental hygienist, and she can't read the books. And she can't take notes because she doesn't understand the vocabulary. This is a perfect time for her to learn about Section 504, learn if she can get a note taker, learn if she can get audio books, see if she can get some kind of tutoring, and go back while she's back in school, becoming the best dental hygienist that she can become. If she's able to do that, she could finally quit the waitressing job, which she hates, and she could finally become a little bit more independent. But to succeed academically, she's going to have to get those accommodations. Again, I know some of this may seem like it's just common sense, but these are the ways, these are the steps to help you finally get the life that you want to achieve. You know, as I say, every time we do a podcast, it means so much to me that you're out there. It means so much to me when you write to me and we get in touch. Please let me know what's going on, if any of this applies to you or not. Those of you that are in other countries, please let me know if it applies to your life. And if subscribe. Also, pass this information along to other people. And I'm going to finish this podcast like I do every podcast so far. And I'm going to send you a big warm hug from South Mississippi and tell you that today is the day you can have your own Independence Day. Today is the day you can shoot off those fireworks. You can go dance on the beach. You can have yourself a barbecue. And you can step out of those shadows. Learn to live your life with style and with grace and with kindness. And with that, until the next podcast, I'll be talking to you then. Take care from the little old lady professor.